and you're very welcome to another episode of Sparking Change. I'm Dil Vikramasinghe. Thank you for taking the time to catch up with the latest social justice and mental health stories as we speak to those who are affected by the issues and hear from the change makers who are making a real difference, all with the view, of course, to inspire you to be part of the change. Please remember to subscribe, rate and review us, and do get in touch with the show by emailing us on sparkingchange@headstuff.org or follow me on Twitter @DilW or the show @SparkingChange1. Now, a word from our sponsor. Our mental health is our most precious resource. How we feel about ourselves plays a big part in the job that we have, the quality of our relationships and our resilience to cope with the challenges of life. Insight Matters provides inclusive and affordable mental health support services with a dedicated and talented team of 45 psychotherapists. Call us on 01-891-0703 or visit insightmatters.ie and start your journey of self-discovery. If you'd like to advertise on Sparking Change and reach thousands of engaged listeners, do get in touch.
Morris Castle Strand Holiday Park was one of the first campsites in Ireland, opening originally with the one small camping field in June 69, and has developed steadily over the years into a larger holiday park offering more up-to-date on-site facilities. And my family and I are actually at the campsite at the moment, enjoying what was meant to be only 10 days and now turned into 14 days because it's just too good for us to leave. And I thought, while I was here, why not have a chat with one of the owners of the campsite, Niamh Darcy. Welcome to Sparking Change.
Thank you.
So Niamh, tell me a little bit about the history of Morris Castle Strand Holiday Park, because it all started with your mum and dad, Ed and Ria, back in 1969. What made them set up a campsite?
Well, actually, my dad had kind of had a plan before he met my mum. So she kind of snuck in about a year afterwards. Dad was down in the area with a group of kids from Dublin, came down here. It was a farm at the time. And
was he not even from the area?
No. Dad's from Clonsky, Dublin. and Mum was from Saggart. But this was before they met. So Dad was down here with a group of kids. I think it was a football club from Cabra. And they came down, they saw the beach, they just, Dad asked the lady who owned the farm, could they camp? And eventually it just sort of progressed into Dad buying the farm and setting this place up.
That's amazing! Yeah. I love this story, because somehow in my head I thought, maybe your mum and dad were from the area.
No.
Moving away from farming. Your dad is a real visionary.
Yeah, he's a total entrepreneur. Yeah, like totally saw the potential. You know, I mean, you see this beach and you just think, wow, what could we do here? You know, it was fantastic. Took a loan and went for it and started just with the one field just beside the entrance to the beach. That was where all of the original campers who are now in the mobiles, some of them, that's where they camped, and that was the start.
You know, people who have been coming here since 1969.
Yeah.
And then there's a group of ladies, I noticed them at about 4 or 5 o'clock, they came to the beach.
Yeah, so they're,
and you know, they're real veterans.
Yeah, they're the 4 o'clock swimmers. Yeah, so they all congregate and they move on down, they head down to the beach all together. And they've been doing that for, you know, years.
And what did your mom think of all of this?
Well, my mom,
mom was Saggart. So what
about
the West?
And seriously, like Saggart at the time was, you know, quite country. So my mom's sister, Liz, got a job down here with my dad in the first year, the first summer. And my mom came down just to visit her sister, and my dad saw her. My mom thought it was obviously, like, you know, it was only starting. So she thought it was a nice little business, you know, because he had a business up in Dublin. So he was in the paper wholesaling business. Yeah. Completely. How, you know, far removed. So Dad, they started dating, and actually Dad convinced Mom to marry him before the next season, so she actually didn't see or experience a summer with him down here.
Well, you're basically working around the clock.
So she didn't see that. So he was very lucky. Yeah. And then, you know, kind of going forward, my mum, they just ran it in the summer during, like, together. And then my dad, actually, over the years, my mum was down here with all of us and with a manager. My dad would come down every weekend because Dublin was still work, you know.
Because obviously it's a new business, starter operator. You need to make sure that you put food on the table.
Absolutely. So the steady-ish business from Dublin was kind of maintaining everything, you know.
But still, it was a big, and then for him to then at some point maybe close that business and then make this your primary business,
was
a big jump.
Well, that actually kind of never happened because of the seasonality of it. So this place kind of just kept going and kept going steadily, but it was very difficult for years. And then kind of the Dublin business was okay, so it was sort of balancing everything up. Dad never gave up Dublin until that business ended, and then it was this one we kind of put heart and soul into this place.
And what I'm really interested about is because, like yourself, I am, I suppose, the child of a family that had a family business,
mm-hmm.
and it was a seasonal family business. My parents had boutiques in Italy,
right.
for high fashion garments, and it was only open during the summer.
Okay.
So the season would start around April, May, and it would go all the way through to October. And I remember it kind of ended with us going to Milan and seeing the fashion collection for next year.
Wow.
So I always say, like, I was practically born under a sewing machine. Every weekend, every evening, you know, because when you're growing up in a family where there's a family business.
Yeah.
It's 24/7.
It's full on,
and if it's seasonal,
yeah.
it's definitely like you can't get, you know, you keep, if you want to get sick in the winter.
Totally.
So what was that like for you growing up? Because I'm fascinated because my sister and myself, as soon as we grew up, we ran off.
Yeah.
The last thing you wanted to do was have
get involved
with the garment trade. So
yeah.
I'm really interested how both yourself and you
yeah.
just kind of stayed in the family business.
So this family business, like after school, at the end of every school year, we'd be just put in the car and we'd be brought down straight away, you know. So like this was our lives. We were never in Dublin in the summertime. We would just be down here running around, you know, barefoot and sort of slightly wild.
Feral.
So we, you know, that was our summers. And like, how lucky, you know, some of my best friends are my friends from here, you know, so like just amazing. But when we kind of hit the teens, we'd be working. And then we sort of realized, oh, actually, this isn't all fun and games here. You know, there's actually, we have to do some work. Yeah, so things changed as we kind of got a little bit older. And I suppose then, you know, all of us went through a phase of just like running away, going to the States and, you know, going
allergic to
totally.
Castle.
Yeah, completely. We were. But that's a phase that everybody goes through, and then you come back eventually. But I went off and traveled to wherever for a few years, and then I went to college and then realized that actually what I really, really wanted to do was, we were running another park up in Dublin for the County Council. Camac Valley. It's just out on the M50,
wow.
just off the N7, sorry. And we had to kind of make a decision. You know, I had come back to the business after traveling, and we had to decide whether or not to kind of come back to here and give it 100% or 150%, or sort of keep at what we were doing and sort of, you know. And we decided that this was our family business, so like, let's go for it. So we came back close on maybe, I don't know, I keep saying it's 12 years ago, but I think it might be closer to 15. I know. And then just kind of did a 10-year plan, and then my brother Hugh came back as well. And since then, really for the last 10 years, we've been ploughing everything in here and just building it and, you know.
Amazing. No, because for me, I've told this before. I never camped until mm-hmm. I moved to Ireland 18 years ago, and then I was camping for a good 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
And then I met my wife, and I stopped camping because my wife would be the person I'm just gonna hate for me to do the things. You know, what hotel are we staying? How many stars does it have? You know, that was a thing. And then, of course, the kids arrived, and it was so funny because we were planning a holiday this year, and we suddenly realized that we were paying for one toddler, is manageable, but then another one,
mm.
the prices just shoot up. And then we also realized, hotels, you're really kind of cooped up. You're in a hotel room and you're driving each other nuts.
Yeah.
So she said, okay, let's give this camping thing a go. And I was just so happy. But it was my fingers and toes across. Please let there be good weather. Please let it be a good campsite, because I've never been to this campsite before. Because if it wasn't, then that's it.
Yeah, totally scope right.
But in 24 hours, she was hooked. She was like, this is amazing. Why haven't we done this before?
And so cool.
So it was my fault for not bringing the camping. I can never win. So camping is just fantastic. And I suppose one of the reasons why I want to talk to you is because this podcast is all about social justice and mental health.
Mm-hmm.
And I realized that camping has a real... The values that come with camping really fit in with a lot of the values that I have. And this is what this podcast is all about. Firstly, it's all about having a great connection with nature.
Mm-hmm.
And I find campers tend to have a really great sense of community that,
for sure.
Then, let's face it, in a hotel type setting, you really don't get.
People no.
don't look out for each other as much as they do. No. What do you think that is?
Well, it's because of it's just a natural community, I think. You know, I mean, we have the mobile homes, which is a community in itself.
The 4 o'clock
swimmers. Exactly. Yeah. The camping and the touring side of it, I think especially camping, because, you know, your home for that period of time that you're here or on any site is opening out into, you know, other people's area and space. And, you know, kids always end up kind of hanging out together, playing, you know, it's all just, it's organic, you know, it's just like, I think it's inevitable. You're going to meet the person beside you or your kids are going to hook up and play in the playground together. And it's just, you know, you're open to it. If you're not open to that, you know, there's no point in camping, I think.
The funny thing is the sense of community is diminishing in many places. Like Dublin, for example, you could be living in an apartment block and not know who's next door to you. You know, older citizens who have nobody to look
absolutely,
into.
Absolutely.
Where in a campsite, you really feel it's maybe because there's no walls.
You're
really in each other's pockets, and you're using communal toilets.
Exactly.
You go to this place where you wash your pantry, you wash your dishes. So while you're kind of washing your dishes, you're chatting to people.
But it's just natural, isn't it? Like you're talking about the weather, and then that goes to, you know, something else, and then it's all, you know, and then you're chatting with people all over the kitchen, and you know, it's just.
Just this morning, I was having a chat with her, just telling me about her 4 kids, and she's up at 6 o'clock in the morning walking one of the kids, and they said, we're talking about a perfect floor.
Yeah.
And the thing is, the past, children, it's like, wow, these are like an intimate conversation that would. And I suppose we might not see each other again. This might be tomorrow, and maybe we might not see.
Yeah,
and that's where you get anything. It's like taxi drivers.
Exactly.
But there's a lot of stuff that you guys do for the local community, which I'm very impressed with. And I think everyone, that's one of the things that I saw recommendations on TripAdvisor, is the fact that you do so much for the local community. So let's talk about all the things that you do, because I know one thing I was very impressed with was Tidy Tuesday.
Sure, sure.
How you get the kids to go down and clean the beach. I mean, how simple.
I know.
Who's that?
Well, you know what? It was a bit of a collaboration. We had some of the kids came in. There's just some of the kids here are just amazing. All of the kids are amazing. Some were especially amazing. A group of them came in to me at one point, and we just started talking about our what we can be doing every day. You know, so like we have a schedule every day for the kids club, and we have bits and pieces happening for the kids all the time. And then we sort of thought that maybe the spark of it was that we had just had a seal release down on Morris Castle Beach. And when Seal Rescue Ireland come to the beach, they do, as well as the release, they do a big clean, and they, you know, they'll chat to the kids about environmental stuff. And it's just so cool. So we were chatting about that, and then we sort of came up with this idea of, why don't we have a tidy day on the park and include the beach as well? Because I think the kids nowadays, they're super conscious of plastic and of environmental issues and of, you know, all of that sort of stuff. So we came up with Tidy Tuesday. Yeah, so we've got like Sporty Sunday and Tidy Tuesday and various other days.
And you kind of, this is burning midnight oil trying to catch a car.
No, Hugh, Hugh's amazing, but he doesn't chat to me about those kind of things.
So what do you and how does the partnership work? What does Hugh do and what do you do?
Well, I mean, we
whenever
are
at a reception. Yeah. Whenever I pass by a reception, there's Neve, you know, answering some question from a 6-year-old. Yeah. You know, making ice cream and refreshers in it.
It's delicious, yeah. Hugh and I, thankfully, we just complement each other really, really well. So he, during the summertime, you know, my domain, I suppose, is the reception and dealing with everybody and everything that's going on and all of the kids club stuff and, you know, staff members, everything in there.
Front of house stuff.
Front of house stuff, yeah. And then Hugh is really taking care of everything else outdoors. There's a crew of guys that work with us that do all of the work, you know, the heavy work. There's a massive amount of maintenance. Huge, you know, huge. You might not have seen any of them, actually, to be honest with you, because they're...
Because every time we go into the facilities, they're spotless. You know? And it just takes one block sink to you know...
Throw everything,
You have everybody waiting to do their dishes.
Absolutely.
Everybody's bedtime out the window.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, like, for example, the guys are amazing. So we had super shallow sinks in the kitchen up here at the start of the season, which was, they were due to be upgraded, but we didn't have the time because we ran out with the snow and all this sort of stuff. So we were going to manage it as well as we could for the season. And a tap broke in it. And within 24 hours, the boys had changed the whole thing. Hugh, Dave and the lads, they'd taken the whole thing out, put in new deeper sinks, had changed the whole countertop. I mean, stuff that it would take me, a year to do.
You have to, you know, hire.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Create service to come in.
Exactly. Forget. Yeah, totally. So just having the talent and...
On site.
Yeah, brilliant.
What are the local charities you support that, I suppose, with Morris Castle Strand Holiday Park supports?
So we, with all of the kids club stuff that we do every day, we, at the end of the season, we support the local Hope Cancer Support Centre. They're based in Enniscorthy, and I think that they're starting up a new support centre in Goree as well. So for the last 4 years, I think we've given €4,000 per year, which
That's
is
amazing.
Phenomenal. Yeah. And then we also donate to the Seal Rescue Ireland as well. So they're based in Corktown, but they're countrywide. So if there's a seal stranded in Sligo, they go down and get them. And, you know, so like they need support too. So that's what we do. So every time, you know, somebody comes and plays football on the pitch, so we keep a euro. But it's kind of nice because then kids can feel that they're doing something really good as well. And then finally, at the end of the season, when we donate give the check and to other charities as well. My dad really likes to support the guide dogs for the blind as well. So, you know, it just is, it's lovely. And it's a real, you know, it's like a huge achievement for the park and the community on, you know, everybody that's kind of donating everything. We have bridge classes. We've got our Stitch and Bitch, but they like to call it Craft Evenings. There's, you know, all of these different things that are run by people on the park as well. They just use our facilities, but they, you know, they donate whatever they take every day, once a week. And it's just fantastic. So everybody's just putting into the charities, and then we can give out at the end of the season. So it's fun.
Yeah, and that's why I was so keen to talk to you, because you're really sparking change within your community. You know, you're
our little community here. Yeah.
You're sparking change by helping, and then other people are actually following in your footsteps, because they see. Because one thing I noticed in a number of the recommendations to your park was they really like the fact that they're doing so much for the local community.
Yeah,
and so there's a social conscience.
Totally.
And
yeah,
by what you're doing, you're actually raising the social conscience of the people who come here. They might come here for 2 days or 3 days, but they maybe go away thinking, maybe I want to do something and spark change.
Yeah, so that's really cool, because I suppose, you know, you're kind of a little bit, or I would be totally sort of, you know, ensconced in my bubble here, you know, for the season, especially in the summertime. So you'd be getting head down and doing your stuff and getting your daily schedule done. You're getting everybody in for the shifts and all that sort of stuff, getting the food in for the takeaway and all that. That you wouldn't, sometimes you don't kind of see how maybe something small like that is affecting other people. But then, and this is just, you know, I'd say maybe 4 or 5 times during the season, I get a group of kids come into me in the reception, and they have a little bag of money, Or they have like a pot with coins in it, or they have stuff that they've made that they're selling on site, or they're doing like braids in the hair of other kids and they're charging them like 20 cent or 50 cent. And they come in with like, you know, a couple of euros or even 20 euros or 30 to put into the box. And you can see in their, you know, in their attitudes that they're so proud of themselves and they're so delighted to be part of this. That is just, I've actually got goosebumps, but that's like, that kind of wakes me up to the whole thing of, wow, this is just fab.
Amazing.
Yeah.
And the fact
yeah.
that you went away and you came back to it.
Yeah.
Which is fantastic, because some kids of, you know, businesses don't do
yeah.
it, you know?
Yeah.
And the fact that there's this now, this element of giving back. Because obviously for the kids, it's helping their self-worth.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's helping them feel good about themselves. It's instilling that social entrepreneurial seed in them, which hopefully will stay with them when they're adults as well.
Yeah.
And that's what it's all about. If we all just make
teeny,
one
tiny.
Little, teeny
yeah,
tiny thing on
yeah.
a daily basis, a lot of the problems in the world wouldn't be there. So this is what you do. You're more than a campsite.
Thank you.
And then also the kids' activities,
because mm-hmm.
that's the other thing, because I've never been, this is my first experience of camping as a family,
mm-hmm.
you know, before it was always just another person,
yeah.
you'd be somewhere like around Wood, I always think about that area, Cupid's Creek,
yeah, yeah,
just for the couples, nice and quiet,
adults,
you know? Yeah, no kids running around,
yeah,
footballs
yeah.
flying over your head, you know, so... But here you actually have organized activities every day.
Mm-hmm.
So what comes up with those?
I suppose it's kind of developed over the years. Yeah. We would have the schedule, like we'd build on the schedule every year. So like this year we have hip hop on Saturdays and, you know, yeah, bits and pieces like that. But just, you know, they appeal to, we try to kind of get as many, you know, age groups and I don't know, hobbies, I don't know, you know, you just try and hit everybody. Yeah, so clay mazing today,
yeah.
yeah, which is brilliant.
Yeah, disco yesterday,
yeah,
puppet show,
yeah.
Is it hip hop?
We've got the bouncy castle, and we've got movies,
yeah.
and you know, like there's just so much, there's literally so much.
And apparently, it's so funny because some parents, they, you know, the kids are kind of old enough and they kind of leave the kids at the activities on their own. And yesterday, we were coming, I was going into the puppet show, and it was just so funny because we like, our kids are small, we like to be with them,
yeah, yeah.
You know, they're, even if they're older, I don't know how, I would still kind of like to know what's happening, you know.
I know.
Call me a control freak or whatever, or helicopter mom or whatever, but this dad came running out of the clubhouse with these crazy eyes. I have an hour and a half to myself. I'm so excited. Probably gonna go off and read a book or something. Yeah. Like, hardly gonna go abseiling off.
No, probably go and have a shower or something simple like that.
Something simple. But then, mental health is another thing, I suppose, that I'm very passionate about. And again, I find the whole camping experience it really enhances a person's mental health.
Mm-hmm.
Do you find that?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. It's just a really positive. We got a lot of families coming to us who, you know, one half of the couple haven't camped before, like yourselves.
Yeah. I'm so tired. You're like, yeah, hi.
So we would have like, so when, you know, families would be booking in and you'd see the hesitation of one of the couples and, you know, really not looking forward to this experience. And their worst thought is, or their main thought is, I have to put a tent up here. And, you know, I mean, really, like, why can't we just go to a hotel or whatever? But
the walls,
yeah,
the roof,
exactly. There's no concept of how it's going to work. And in all honesty, I'd say 99 times out of 100, it works.
Amazing.
It works, you know, and it's really, we find it kind of from feedback of families that stay with us, even people who have camped before and, you know, might be veterans at it, everybody seems to go home happier. You know, the kids have an amazing time. It's that freedom of, you know, like just being able to go down onto the beach and just chill out for the day there. How could you not be in better form after that? You know, like.
Yeah, and the security as well, I have to say.
Sure.
You guys are really invested in, like, because as people are probably worried about in camping, is it safe?
Yeah, again, you've got no walls so, or
yeah.
no locks on doors or whatever.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
you know, how
you
can you be secure?
Barriers here, you know, you
yeah.
have, like, you know, with registration
Your car, yeah. Well, that sort of side of things, you don't want people to have to worry about that. So again, you know, you want everybody just to chill out as much as possible and enjoy their time. And if the parents are relaxed and enjoying themselves and, you know, things are going well, then the kids will have a great time. And, you know, like, so it's all a knock-on thing. And security is super important. We never have problems, thank God. But having the security there is it's just a bonus. You know, so like I can leave the reception at midnight or whatever and go to bed without worrying about anything, you know, untoward happening or, you know, so it's just an extra
cause,
help.
Because I think it helps families. Because the fact that you don't have coverage here, which I think is awesome. And you have broadband, right?
Yeah.
And we've
got Wi-Fi in the reception.
Yeah,
exactly.
Wi-Fi and reception, all that. Okay. Mm. So all the kids, you can see them right now, sitting by the restaurant there with their phones.
With their heads tilted.
Yes. But most of the kids are running around.
Yeah.
And the parents as well are running around with the kids, and they're not immersed in their phones, you know. And I think that's beautiful because bring Wi-Fi now.
Of course,
good.
Well, no way. And, you know, I'll say it now on radio. That'll never happen. You know, and some people want that, so they just don't come here. They can, though, and that's totally fine because they won't enjoy themselves if that's what they're looking for. Here, I believe that if we had, I mean, as you just said, you look around there, you look into the games room, there are, you know, maybe 5 kids with their heads in their phones, and cool if that's what they're doing. But in my opinion, I just feel that, you know, if you want to watch a movie all day, every day, or if you want to just be online all the time, that's not going to benefit you for your summer holidays. You just don't, you know, I would love for kids who come to stay with us to have the same experience as I did when I was a kid for my whole, every summer.
Barefoot and feral.
Seriously, feral. That sounds awful. But you know,
that's
just
great.
Freedom and out there and running around and just playing
and
like running on the sand and you're, you know, without your shoes on and, you know, like down there digging tunnels to China. You know.
I have to say, you just don't get it. Like a lot of families, a lot of kids nowadays are growing up without that. And
exactly.
They're wrong because they don't know any better.
Yeah,
like,
but that's it. They don't know any better.
And
so,
when you go out for a meal or something, even when I went to Gori the other day for dinner and we were having some time chatting with the kids and the family, so they were all...
There was no communication.
Yeah,
I know.
What the heck is going on?
I know.
And that is going to impact their mental health. So thank you for having coverage. Because again, I'm not checking my work emails, so
yeah.
I haven't been able to switch off for the last 7 days. And that's why we've actually extended. And I feel we've been away for months.
I know.
Which is fantastic.
But that's great, yeah. Yeah.
So people listening to this who have never gone camping in their life, because I think I was very lucky in my previous relationship, the woman I was with was a big camper, and she took me camping down to a lovely campsite in Kerry called Wavecrest.
Yeah.
And I learned everything there is to know about camping and about how when you're in a tent, don't let anything inside the tent touch the tent because if it rains, water's going to pour in. And I was trying to explain that to my wife, and she realized, oh, wow, it's true. Kid's head touched the tent and suddenly water started coming in. And like, these things you wouldn't know. So what are the tips for people who want to maybe give camping a go? Because after I listen to you speaking,
you're
going to have a queue of people who want to go to camping. They're probably going to kill me. They're going to say, you're so wrong. I haven't slept in days. So what to do?
Well, I guess you need to choose your tent carefully. There's an awful lot of forums online, I suppose, that give a huge amount of information to people who haven't camped before, and even people who are camping regularly. You know, you find that your needs change if you've got kids when they get older. You know, I think packing is a huge thing. How to pack the car.
Space.
Exactly.
And then I realized I met a camper there who had a trailer and was like, I want to get me one of them.
That's
and
totally
then,
the way to go.
Yeah, no, and then he said you have to get a blade license to have a trailer. And then a lot of people go and, you know, study, do the course, and then go to the driver, the trial test, thinking they're only going to be tested on the trailer.
Yeah.
But then realize, oh no, they've been tested on their driving and they end up failing. Right, so I'm not going to do that.
You can get a roof box though, either, you know, that's
roof box, yes.
Yeah. There's ways and means, you know, and even just kind of maybe checking out online as to, there's a great list of essentials online there. with regard to exactly what you need to bring and what you definitely don't need to bring. Whereas people overpack. I mean, I overpack for everything, but you know, I'm terrible, terrible packer. But
because you're thinking, you want to feel like you have a choice. Well, just in case. To wear in the morning, but with your kids, it's like the cleanest thing. Just wear the cleanest thing, that's all. Yeah. And you have tumble dryers here, so you wash them and they're dry within half an hour.
Exactly. Know? Yeah. Yeah.
But my question is about, because I went for, everything is brand new. Literally bought it the week before we got here.
Mm-hmm.
And I bought a Van Gogh tent, what's it called now? I think it's Langley 600 XL or something, you know, and they're poles, right?
Mm.
And then suddenly I've noticed all this
air tents.
So what is it? Poles versus air, which is better?
Well, you know what? Well, air seems to be winning, yeah. I think. There's a few reasons. One is that they're so easy. They're so easy.
So people are wondering what this is. So instead of poles,
yeah.
you actually have...
You just pump your... Yeah. Pump
and it's like it creates like a rigid...
Exactly. But it's super flexible with the wind as well. So, I mean, if you were going... You know, sometimes the wind here can be quite, really quite strong.
I'm just... I was up every hour.
I know.
Just happened one night out of 40 days.
One night, folks, one night.
I was up every hour checking my pegs.
Yeah, that was everywhere, though. I mean, you know, any of the parks on the coast. And we can, you know, especially where you are, there's a good bit of shelter there, you know. But it just depends on the way the wind goes and how strong it is. But that was like, you know, the tail end of Storm Ernesto.
So a few people packed up in the night.
They did, yeah.
And I was thinking, if somebody packs up in the middle of the night, oh my God.
Yeah. So it, I suppose... Yeah, I don't know. Air tents are really, really super popular now, you know, and also kind of so the stress for a lot of people is the erecting and the, you know, putting away.
Yeah.
I think if you can get that down to the easiest option, and I believe that might be just inflating and deflating.
Yeah, no, it's true. I saw someone come in the other day and they put up their tent by themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas when I put up my pole tent,
I needed a second person
for about 5 minutes because I ended up putting the pole in the wrong place, and this fellow camper turns about, please.
But that's the beauty as well. Yeah, people will help you, you know, and that's.
Do you really want to be that independent? Maybe
exactly.
Up, you know, introducing yourself.
Absolutely, like, just.
I'm new at this. So it depends whether you want air or poles, and then packing is the other thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then what else?
Just be ready for all occasions, you know. I mean, or all eventuality. Clothing. Yeah. So layers, wellies. You know, bikini or swimsuit.
Bitch, you got into the sea the other day.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, I can't believe it. We're in Ireland getting into the sea.
Yeah, but look, the sea, I'm not surprised.
I was really surprised because even my wife was a cold creature.
Yeah.
She couldn't leave it. She felt so warm. I'm going to get in. I said, really? Oh my God, I need to take pictures. And I took a picture of it. I sent it to all her family members who are all over the world. And they couldn't believe it.
Okay.
What? You got into the Irish Sea? Are you mad? But it is quite warm.
Yeah.
On a hot day.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We've been so lucky with the weather this summer, though. So the sea is warm. It's great. So if she didn't get in this time, she wouldn't get in again. So that's good.
Exactly. You know. And the other thing about Wexford, you know, because for me, it's just so close to Dublin. Every second person I speak to is from Dublin. It's only an hour and a half. And
exactly,
you can go. And sure, if it doesn't work out, you can always come back home.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. Well, we have a lot of people not camping as such. We had a few long stay campers, but mainly touring, and a lot in the mobile homes, obviously. So one parent is traveling up and down for work, and then like the rest of the family are staying here for the period of their stay, for their holidays or their long stay. So yeah, super, super close. Like the road's so good now, and it's all just so accessible, really. So what I love about this location is we're far enough away that you feel like you're going on your holidays, but we're actually close enough to be able to come and go, you know.
So we're close, too close.
Yeah.
Because we were thinking you're going to another campsite, but it's like, we're close. It's like, you know, you go to Greystones, you know, to have lunch and have a fair, you know. So that's not really away.
Yeah.
And Kerry is beautiful, but it's so far away.
It's just so far away, yeah.
5.5 hours with the kids and then try to put the tent up, forget it. Nightmare, you know, where he is, just perfect.
It's just perfect, yeah.
I know, that's brilliant. So that's Wexford for people who are thinking about
that. Absolutely, Sunnyside East.
And talk to me about the mobile home. So when does the campsite actually close? You're probably counting the
days.
Coming to the end of the season, you're hanging there by your fingernails.
The camping and touring, we close at the end of September. But to be honest, once the schools go back, it calms, you know.
It's dead.
A lot, yeah. And then the mobile homes, we stay open until after Halloween, so the start of November. And then we close completely until Paddy's. So Paddy's, Patrick's Day is when we open for the mobiles, and then we open for touring and camping then from Easter. Which is quite late next year, yeah.
Yeah, very good. Yeah. And I can imagine you have families that keep coming back over.
Yeah, and over and over again. We do. Yeah, we're really lucky that way.
Well, we'll be one of them.
Good.
We plan already next year. We'll be back in Morris Castle for sure, and then we'll find other campsites. And talk to me about the campsite, because there's a great website, the
Camping Ireland.
Camping Ireland,
yeah.
And how you can really find out, you know, the star rating. What do the stars actually correspond, I suppose, what do they relate to?
Yeah,
like
so...
a hotel.
Yeah. So in the south of Ireland, there's 4 stars a maximum. That's actually changing for next year. So yeah, so they're introducing a 5-star rating.
Oh my word!
5-star.
My wife is so excited. She'll tell me where's more
scaffolding. So the stars and the Camping Ireland, so all of the parks that are part of Camping Ireland, it's the Irish Caravan Camping Council, and they are all checked and rated by Fulch Ireland. So basically, if you look at the guide, or if you look online, actually next week.
Nope.
But we have, so every year you're checked, and you know, they come and they check out your toilets and they do everything, you know. So it's so basically, you know, guests know what to expect. Well, you know, so for next year, the inspection that we're getting next week is for 2019, and that's the change. So I don't know about the 5-star thing. It'll be an option, I suppose. But I don't know, like the.
What do you know? What the 5-star? What do you have to have the 5-star?
Well, it's changing from you know, like your physical services and facilities to a more sort of experiential thing. So. I'm not 100% sure.
You're the 5-star. You are, because there is experientially. You're more than just the campsite. You're not just here's a pitch. There's the bathrooms and there's the pantry for you to wash your dishes. Good luck. There's actually activities. There's things happening.
Yeah.
Here. So there's I think everyone walking away from Morris Castle sees that they had a good experience. They're not going to be because I think of all the facilities are there and they're given, then that doesn't become the focus.
Yeah.
Because, you know, if the sink was blocked or the toilets were not clean, that's what people would be thinking.
Yeah,
Because all that is running smoothly, they can actually enjoy the experience of being here. Because I've been in, it's funny because I was saying to Emily, I wouldn't stay in a campsite that's less than 4 stars.
Right.
Because you really do feel the facilities that kind of, you know, like I remember once staying in a 2-star campsite and I swore never again.
Right, okay.
Never again. Because I remember it was a bank holiday weekend and the campsite didn't limit the people coming in.
Yeah.
They obviously saw people coming in. They said, yay, cha-ching, you know.
I know.
All in. And then we had this family set up next to us. They obviously got a tent from Harford's. They didn't even have a ground sheet. The leggings of cider, and then decided to build a fire in the middle of the night next to our tent.
Oh my God.
And then suddenly I was like, I can smell rubber. And somebody threw a shoe on their fire, and I got out of the tent. I was like, oh my God, it's inches away from our tent. Are you guys nuts?
Okay,
so that kind of stuff would not happen.
Okay. No, it wouldn't. No.
It shouldn't happen in a campsite.
No, it shouldn't at all. Yeah. But saying that, like some 2- and 3-star campsites, you can have like an amazing experience given, you know, whatever you're looking for, I suppose, you know. But I guess 4-star and 5-star whenever they come in, I suppose you just be expecting a bit more.
I can understand that. And I think especially when you are camping as a family, facilities play a big part,
of course.
You know, where are the toilets, how long do we have to walk,
exactly,
so I think when you are when you're either camping on your own or camping with your friends.
Yeah, it's a different, yeah, exactly.
It's like the kind of camping you do in a festival. The tent could have cost you €20. Who cares what's going to happen after? Here it's like, no, you need to try and make it as safe as possible.
Exactly. And that's why, you know, like your family experience is what we're all about. And there are many other parks around the country that are catering just for families, like not for groups of people, not for stag parties or that sort of thing. So when it's a family
stag
based,
parties, go camping.
I don't know what you know.
I've never heard of that before.
groups of young people.
Oh,
you know, remember those days? Yeah. But yeah, so I suppose, you know, when you're family based. A family park and you're aiming everything towards families, that's the experience that you hope families will have, is, you know, they'll come, they won't be upset by other people on top of them and noise and, you know, all that sort of stuff. So, and lots to do or nothing to do if that's what you choose, you know, you just go down to the beach or
because the other thing is, not apart from the beautiful experience in the campsite here in Morris Castle Strand, there's a lot of things in the area that are mm-hmm. really, really amazing as well. So, can I have to mention Lawler's?
Yeah.
And their takeaway.
Yeah.
And their ice creams. Like last night at 10 o'clock, it was like the kids were in bed. I said, I'm really, I think I'm going to jump in the car and go to Lawler's. Get us a sneaky Nutella crepe. And they closed the crepe machine at 10 o'clock.
Oh, no.
So, tonight, we couldn't get there. So, there's obviously that. And then the Kilmuckridge, you know, mm-hmm. village is lovely as well.
Kate's Cafe there. Amazing. Yeah.
And even the centre there. Hamels.
Yeah. Hamels, yeah. Shays.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
And then Gori. What's the story with Gori name? Because we went there on a Thursday night and we have to go to 4 restaurants to get a table.
I know.
What's the story?
Gori's it's just exploding. It's just so cool. It's, again, even 20 minutes closer to Dublin. It just has everything. It just is. It's just blossoming at the moment, I think, to be honest with you. You know, it's fab. It's they've got restaurants. They just have every style and type of restaurant that you could want. There is a huge community feel there. It's just brilliant. They've got the People's Park. They've got the Boutique Boulevard there on Esmond Street. You know, they kind of have everything. You know, they've
Cafe.
The Book Cafe. I was there just this week.
Yeah
sure. Fab.
And then like yesterday we went to see Wells House.
Mm-hmm.
So beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
I mean the beautiful grounds.
Yeah.
The adventure playground is amazing.
Yeah.
The fairy walk.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
The grapple
so
walk,
much.
You know.
Yeah. We're so lucky that that's so close to us
so
as well.
Much.
Yeah.
And then of course we have Wexford as well.
Mm-hmm.
Wexford is lovely as well. So, and one thing I would say, there's something about this area. It's really good food. Is Wexford like, are you all foodies?
All foodies.
Yeah. No, we haven't had one bum meal. What's
I'm so about? Glad to hear that.
Say that tonight. Gory. So really, Wexford is the county to come to if you want to go camping, if you want to go for a good meal out.
Absolutely.
And
yeah.
Some sunshine. And
yes, sunny southeast, which is so true this summer as well.
So, Niamh, thank you so much.
You're
for
welcome.
Coming on Sparkling Change. No doubt we'll be seeing you again and again and again as the years
Delighted.
Go on. And I'm hoping that, you know, our kids will take to camping as well. And who knows, you know?
Yeah.
They'll keep camping as well.
Absolutely.
Any last word for anyone out there on the fence about going camping?
Just do it. Not to quote Nike, but you know,
why
not? Give it a go. You know, what have you got to lose? It's great.
Do it in the summer.
Well, yeah, or just wrap up. You know, the whole layer thing.
It's so funny because you're Irish. You're used to, you know, rain.
Yeah,
and some people are just so allergic to it. It's like,
well, no, you know what it is, especially this summer. I've never spoken about the weather so much, and we're so spoiled this year. So a little bit of rain this year, it was like, oh my God, what's happening? It was happening to the summer. Yeah, our grass is dead as dodo. But I think in Ireland, camping can't be about the weather. It has to be about just having the crack, no matter what sort of weather we have. And just, you know, covering all eventualities. And that's half the fun as well, because, you know, we're not, even in the sunny southeast, we
yes,
are a little unfortunate.
Yeah, totally.
So lower your expectations.
Exactly.
And rainy days, I have to say, can be fun as well because you have to be resourceful, especially as a family. And if you're stuck in the tent, you play board games.
Absolutely.
You know, whereas on a sunny day, because it's so funny because I was chatting to parents and I saw one parent who was reading away and our kids, for some reason, loved this family because they had a lovely dog, you know, and they've got teenage kids. And this dad said to me, gosh, your kids have spoken to us more than our kids have spoken. My heart went down to me because I could see, when you think of it, when you have small children, you're like, oh my God, it's 24/7.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I'm telling myself I have to enjoy this.
Absolutely.
Because before you know it, they're going to be teenagers. Yeah. They're going to be away, you know.
Yeah.
So it's just really interesting seeing all that kind of play out, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, listen, Neve Darcy, thank you so much. I've taken loads of your time. So thank you for coming on Spark and Change. Website for Maurice Castle?
Yeah, mauricecastlestrand.com.
No, have you never said anything about the rates? Very quick.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
The rates for to stay?
Yeah.
On average, it's about €35 a night during the summertime, for a
Come
family.
Come on, folks. Where are you going to get that kind of bargain? It doesn't persuade you to get off the fence and come camping. I don't know what.
Absolutely.
New Jersey of Maurice Castle Strand Holiday Park. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Well, we reached the end of this episode. Hope you enjoyed it as much as we did putting it together for you. Don't forget to subscribe, and if you like what you heard, please leave us a review. Spark and Change is brought to you by Insight Matters, counseling and psychotherapy services in Dublin City Centre. They support over 400 clients a week with a team of 45 talented and dedicated counsellors. Visit insightmatters.ie for more information. Do get in touch with the show by emailing us on sparkingchange@headstaff.org or follow me on Twitter @DillW or the show @SparkingChange1. A massive thank you to my researcher, Jamie Reynolds, and the fantastic Headstaff team. So that's it for this episode of Sparking Change. This is Dill Vikramasinghe, and as always, reminding you that we're all part of one human family and that you too can spark change.
This podcast is part of the Headstaff Podcast Network.